The Lord be with you. The reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. As we know, there are two canticles, or actually there's three canticles every day in the church. There's the canticle of Zechariah in the morning, the canticle of Mary in the evening, which we just heard, and the canticle of Simeon at night, which we pray at night prayer, compline. Canticle of Zechariah is, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free." Because John is born. And then we have Mary. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Where is freedom? In God's plan. How is there greatness? In Jesus that's going to be born. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord," not the greatness of ourselves. The other reading that is offered in the vigil is David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. So now Mary, the new ark, goes body and soul to the heavenly Jerusalem. David celebrated the word of God in that ark that entered Jerusalem. We celebrate the great mother of God, the ark of the new covenant, because the word was made flesh in her, and that ark of the covenant dwelt with us for 9 months. And at the foot of the cross, Jesus says, "Behold your mother." And death is conquered. So he does both of those things at the same time. Death is swallowed up in victory, and we receive our mother at the same time. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear the Magnificat. So Mary wanted God to be great in the world, great in her life, and present among us all. She was not afraid of losing her freedom. She was not afraid of even controlling her own body. She knew that if God is great, we would be great as well. Our life is not oppressed, but raised up and expanded. It is precisely then that it becomes great in the splendor of God. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were afraid. They were afraid that if God were too great, he would take something away from their life. They thought they could set God aside to make room for themselves. The great temptation is that we try to be great of our own strength. So over the last 3 centuries or so, the powers and prophets of the world, they preach that the commandments of God and his Son on the cross take away freedom. All the time, they're going to take away your freedom. You're enslaved. You can't think freely. And it's proclaimed today in so many words, if we set God aside and do whatever we want with our own ideas and our own inclinations and our own bodies, then we will truly be free. But when God disappears, men and women do not become greater. They lose divine dignity. Their faces lose God's splendor. And in the end, they just turn out to be merely products of a blind evolution. And they can be abused and used and discarded. And the experience of our age confirms the chaos. Each person then becomes a Tower of Babel. Each person redefines reality. And now we have the whole transgender world. It's on one side of us. And then on the other side, to conquer death with technology, to go beyond being human and live forever in a new thing called like a transhumanism. Perhaps with technology and health, I just may not die. And it's transhumanism. I'm going beyond being human. You take that with the AI technology. We keep wanting to make ourselves great. Only if God is great is humankind great, each one of us. We recognize this and we come to understand this with Mary. We must not drift away from God, but make God present. That is to say, allow Him in. We must ensure that He is great in our lives. Then we too will become divinized and be with Him. And then all the splendor of the divine dignity will then be ours. Mary carried that divine dignity, and she was brought home, body and soul, to share in that. When God is present, when we begin and end the day with prayer, when we dedicate time to God, dedicate this special holy day, dedicate Sundays, we have an orientation of ourselves, a common direction, destination. Or we fall apart. And disputes become impossible to settle in a family, a neighborhood, or wherever we are at. And all this happens because our common dignity is no longer recognized. Because we spend our entire lives making ourselves dignified. We do not waste our free time if we offer it to God. Mary offered herself to God. Mary proclaims the Magnificat, an original poem that is a fabric put together from the Old Testament. She is at home with God's word. And that's not even a figure of speech for her. And we get to be at home with God's word every time we enter a church, genuflect, and be present. And then we bring Him to others. She was already living on God's word, and she was penetrated by God's word. To the extent that she spoke with God's words, she thought with God's words. Her thoughts were God's thoughts. Her words, God's words. She was penetrated by divine light, and that is why she was so resplendent, so good, so radiant with love and goodness. And she draws people to herself. People want to be drawn to goodness. They're drawn to that. Benedict leaves everything, the demise and the destruction of the Italian peninsula. The Roman Empire had been gone, and he goes into a cave. He's trying to live a simple life, and men show up. Hey, can we do this with you? Because we sense a light here. Francis runs off naked out of town and lives in rags for 3 years and tries to rebuild the church by actually picking up really big stones. And these other men show up. They're like, can we do this with you? Can we wear rags? There's this light here, and I want to be part of that light. Mary carried the light. And we want to be close to her, and she guides us to her Son. Mary is taken up body and soul into the glory of heaven, and with God and in God, she is Queen of heaven and earth. She is not remote from us. Just as people walked, you know, in the crowds along the street, I'm sure the apostles had some time out time. They're just kind of like, as they're walking, just kind of like, where's Mary? I want to talk to Mary for a second. And people would run up, are you his mother? And people did that. And so Mary then brings us to her son. While she lived on this earth, she could only be close to a few people. Who was ever walking in that crowd? Being in God, who is close to us, actually within all of us, Mary shares in this closeness of God. People, like, they were on the edge of the crowd and say, hey, yo, Jesus, your mother is here. Just, and who is my mother, my brother, my sister? Those who do the will of God. Jesus made that clear. What was Mary doing all the time? The will of God. Being in God and with God, she is close to each one of us, knows our hearts, can hear our prayers, sees the problem, and can help us with her motherly kindness and has been given to us. As the Lord said, precisely as a mother to whom we can turn at every moment. Eve said no, and sin and death entered the world. Mary says yes to life and is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus brings her home. We have a mother in heaven. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free in God. And my soul proclaims the greatness of God. Those two verses, the bookends of the day, they guide us. They are the parameters. It is the pathway, the map. It is the guide. And Mary then foreshadows what will happen to us. Living in God's grace and living in his love, our Lord wants to bring us home just as he brought home his own mother.